Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnamphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a great week and, I've been working hard this week. I think I've worked 7 days this week, getting in the overtime, getting the readies for Christmas and various Christmas prezzies. And I've been all over the place as well. I've been covering at Southampton on Friday, and I've been up at Twickenham, up in London, for the last 2 days helping out at that store there. So I feel a little bit jaded today, to say the least. It's 9:30 in the evening, and Suzanne's upstairs watching Downton Abbey, and I'm downstairs recording my little podcast on my HTC Desire Android phone. What I thought I'd do today is just talk about some bargains I got from the car boot this morning and then a few thoughts on white balance. But before that, a word as ever from our sponsors, GoToMeeting, proud sponsors of the SCL Photography Podcast. GoToMeeting, what's it all about? Well, GoToMeeting is a way that you can hold conference calls with their new HD Faces option on your computer with people not only in your company, but in other companies, not only in your town, not only in your country, but all over the world for a really cheap monthly fee. We've all been on them, haven't you? You've all been on conference calls where you're not really listening, you're reading the newspaper, you're staring out of the window, you're doodling on a pad. But with GoToMeeting, especially if you use the video conferencing call feature, everybody is involved because they can see what's on your desktop. They can see the sales plans. They can see the sales agendas. They can see the photographs. They can see everything that you want them to see. And with HD Faces, you also have high definition video conferencing. But remember, you don't have to take my word for it. Just head on over to gotomeeting.com, click the try it now button, and enter the promo code podcast, and you get to give it a go for free for 30 days. So it's gotomeeting.com, hit the try it free button and use the promo code podcast. I'm sure if your company needs it, you'll find it an invaluable resource because you'll save loads of money in terms of travel costs, time and productivity. So thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring the podcast. So it's quite funny this morning. It takes me 2 hours to drive up to, well, it doesn't really, probably about an hour and a half to drive up to Twickenham. But Sunday morning, car boot time, you know, I can't miss a car boot. You never know what bargains might be there. But for some reason, I thought we had to get up and leave the house for about 6:20 because I had in my head that I had to leave for work at 7:00. But I didn't. I had to leave for work at 8:00 to get there in time to open the store. And so hence we got to the car boot an hour earlier than we normally would, so it was still pitch black. And I said to Suzanne, I've got this wrong, haven't I? We're here an hour early. She said, yes, I didn't know why you wanted to get up so early. So I was like, oh, so I didn't get off to a good start. So we were staggering around the car boot sale in the dark without a torch. I had to use the torch on my phone. And you'd be amazed at the number of people who get there in the dark and they're rooting through all the stuff. But anyway, it kind of got light, so I went off and got a bite to eat as well because I knew I'd have a long day ahead of me. And then I was wandering around, couldn't see many cameras at all apart from the odd digital camera and the odd cheap compact. What I'm really looking for at the moment at the car boots is a Fujifilm Instax mini camera, because I've found two and I've sold both of them and I really want one to keep now. Just like I've got my trips now that I'll keep, I want an Instax mini that I'll put in my big camera bag and hang on to and not sell. But then I was walking past this stall, and as you know, because I've talked about it many times in the past, I love photo books. Not the ones that are like Kodak's Book of Photography or How to Do This in Photography, but proper published photo books. They're normally from one photographer on a project or something like that, but they're quite rare and they're quite expensive to buy. And one of the beauties of going to the car boots is you get this random selection of books. It's not like you can go along and think, I know, I'm going to look for a David Bailey photo book today. It's whatever's there. And I was going past this stall and I saw these books in a box underneath. So I started rooting through and lo and behold, I picked up four what looked like excellent photo books for the bargain price of £6 for all four from this guy who was clearing out some of his collection. And what I'll do is when I go through, I'll look at the prices that I would have paid for these if I paid the full cover price. But more importantly, it's all about the fact that for £6, that's the price of a couple of photography magazines. I don't know, £6 is probably about $10 US. And that's nothing, but these are really good quality books. So let's see what it picked up. So the first book, remember it's £6 for all of the, it's called Appearances, a fashion photography since 1945, compiled by Martin Harrison. And a quick look at the cover, it was, you could have got it on a special introductory offer for £35 until the 31st of May 1991, whereupon it goes up to £40. And this book was produced to accompany an exhibition at the Victoria and Albert Museum. And you find quite a lot of photography books like that, actually, that to accompany an exhibition that may be travelling around. And so this is a collection of great fashion photographers, 1945 right up until 1990, I think. When was it? Let's see. That's 1985. I think it's 1990. Let me see when it was published on the front little bit. Here we go. It was published in 1991. So printed in, it's not like this issue was printed in 1991, and it's a nice big book. It's about the size of two A4 pieces of paper stuck together, roughly. Beautiful white crisp paper, beautiful black and white and colour prints, loads of text all about the history of fashion photography and how it developed, and you know, a quick flick through. There's so many great photographs in this book. We've got loads of Richard Avedon. We've got, I'll try and pick out the names that are familiar to me. Horst, remember, he's the guy, you know, Madonna's Vogue video. That was basically him, inspired by him. Irving Penn, we know him, don't we? Loads of great photographs from him. And then when we go, it's a really big, heavy book as well. Then we go sort of to the later photographers. We've got people like, Robert Franks from quite a while ago, isn't he? But we've got who's that guy who's a bit controversial? Can't remember now. He's so controversial, I can't remember his name. He's a bit sexist, apparently. Don't you hate it when you know somebody's, when you've got name on the tip of your tongue and you can't, here we go, Helmut Newton, there we go, there's quite a few of his photographs as well in here. I mean, this is a huge book, it's about 250 pages, definitely keep an eye out for this one if you see it going cheap. Who else have we got? David Bailey, of course, James Moore, more Richard Avedon, fantastic collection of fashion photography through the ages. And Louise Dahl Wolf. I just love, they just give you inspiration, don't they, photo books? Well, they do anyway. You know, I look through them and I just want to grab my camera and go out and start shooting. So, Appearances, what a bargain. Let's put that one down. Go to the next one. So, the next one is by a guy called Jean-Luc Cieff. Now, I must admit, the name didn't mean anything to me, but I did a quick Google search and Jean-Luc Cieff, born in 1933, died in 2000, fashion photographer. I think, according to Wikipedia, he was a member of the Magnum Photo Agency. And this is another huge book, really big and heavy, and would have been, let's have a look, let's see if it's got a price on. I know, what, shouldn't we look at prices, shouldn't we? But in fact, this book is so posh, it doesn't even have a price on. Let's see when it was published. Jean-Luc Cieff, 40 Years of Photography. This was printed in 1996. And just look at, I love this guy's photos, they're brilliant. These are all black and white, prints, plates, aren't they? So that was the old-fashioned term they used to do. Here we go. We've got a picture of Catherine Deneuve here from 1965. Portraits. Yves Montand.
Fashionable Fashion Photography, a shoot for Harper's Bazaar. Yeah, and the one thing I really love about this book, just looking through it to start with as well, is lots of the photographs are huge. You know, they take up almost the entire picture, and he does quite a lot of nudes actually, so quite tasteful, but very, very good. Yeah, very, some of it's in my very limited knowledge of photography. Some of it's a bit David Bailey-ish, although obviously the influence may well be the other way around. Really good photograph to look at and just be inspired to, inspired by even. Loads of pictures of Paris and the American desert as well, funny enough. So Jean-Luc CF, very, very good. Just pop that one down. Now this next one is a little bit more of an enigma. It's called American Photography 2. And it's a collection. What it says in the cover notes, it says, here is the second annual volume of American Photography, a book destined to fascinate the vast audience eager to keep up with the state of the art of photography today. And again, nice big book, beautiful colour paper, published in, let's have a look, 1986. God, this guy really looked after his books. These haven't yellowed at all. And we've got loads of colour and black and white images of, obviously on film as well, from that sort of period in time. And it's funny, there's some great pictures of Clint Eastwood at the front. And we've got pictures by Richard Avedon. He says, flicking through. See, lots of these people I don't really know. I don't know they've never come across them before. Obviously, Richard Avedon I have. Now, this guy, maybe people out there know, a guy called Clint Clemens. He's done these great photos of American automobiles from the 1950s. Really beautiful colour images. Very, very nice indeed. Yeah, I do love that. Colour photography is one of those great challenges, isn't it? And I love seeing great colour photography. Who else have we got here? Chris Callis, Bruce Davidson, Michael Comps. Charles Ford, you know, all really highly inspirational images. And the paper that this photo book is printed on is amazing, really beautiful. They almost look like proper photographic prints. Very, very nice indeed. Put that one down. And then finally, the last book I got in a £6 package was an unusual one because I recognised the name, but the subject was a little bit of a mystery. And the name was Don McCullen. And that name may well resonate with some of our listeners out there. And Don McCullen is a famous British photojournalist, more famous for his war photography. But this is a collection of British landscapes that he's done. See when it was published, 1989. And there are all these really dark, moody, black and white images. Very, very dark, actually. You might even say underexposed. But I quite like it because a lot of my landscapes I would consider to be underexposed and dark, and he has moody skies and black clouds and black foregrounds and trees and dramatic skies and all this sort of business. Really interesting to look at. A little bit of a smaller book, but again, beautiful prints, beautiful plates, as they say. Inspirational work and a real pleasure to see some different type of work from a photographer who I just knew from his inspirational war photography. So there we go. Four books from the car boot sale for less than the price of a couple of photo magazines. So come on, get out there. When you're on your lunch break, visit those charity shops, visit those thrift stores. If you see a garage sale, pull over, get out, have a route through those boxes, and before these fantastic books get thrown away in the landfill or get recycled to make crappy celebrity magazines, see if you can save some of them. Put them into your magazine, your photo collection, and instead of buying a couple of magazines that month, buy some really good second-hand photo books. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about this week was white balance. I was listening to the most excellent Martin Bailey photography podcast the other day, and I'll put a link in the notes about it. I'll try and find which episode it was. But Martin was talking about how you can make your images pop more, because he'd had a question from one of his listeners asking how the photographers on the 500px website get that look, that kind of high contrast look. And Martin gave some really excellent ways and tips to do this. Amongst things were getting really good lenses. You know, spend a lot of money on your lenses and your photographs will look better. But I can't really afford Elgar's or anything like that, so I have to pass on that one for the time being. But I have got my eye. I think the next lens I'm probably looking at now is I'm either going to go for the 51-8, which I've had in the past and sold, or which you can have for Canon and Nikon for less than £100. And most manufacturers will do a nifty 50, a fast 50, for a reasonable price. Or do I hang on and get the 51-4, which is meant to be a better lens? But yeah, you know, just getting to the moment. It would be after Christmas, sometime next year, maybe a birthday present for next year or something like that, because I got the 18-55 and the 55-250, didn't I, not that long ago, and I'm still using them. And I think before that, in terms of kit, I think I really need a new computer. My computer is so old now, it's a nightmare trying to post-process images. And I've just got a rather nice, I don't want to use the word gift, but promo from the people over at Tiffin, who produce a Photoshop plugin and a standalone program for altering your images digitally instead of using the Tiffin filters. And I need to go and take some images, but I know that it's going to be slow on my computer, so I think a new laptop will be in order before long. So we'll see about that. But again, back to Martin's hints and tips, and it was basically, I'll do the link in the website, because I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but one of them was lenses. You know, get good glass. And your photos will pop more. And then one of the other things he talked about was white balance. And white balance isn't something I've seriously thought about or talked about, I don't think, in the podcast or the blog for a long time. And the idea, what Martin was saying was basically, unless the colour's right in your photos, they won't pop. They'll look a little bit off, but when you get it right, it's very, very good. And one of the things that Martin said you could use to make your white balance better is you can use a custom white balance by using something like a Color Checker Pro. But let's take a step backwards first. So what is white balance? Well, when your camera, digital camera, takes a photograph, it looks at the exposure in the images and will set an exposure if you want to in one of the automatic settings like aperture priority, auto, program shutter priority, etc. And going off roughly looking at there should be about 18% grey in a photograph, it will come up with a proper looking exposure, so it's not too light, not too dark, etc. And as we know, one of the things that we can do as photographers to improve the exposure, we can dial it up or down using exposure compensation, because we know that if our camera sees a very, very bright scene, in other words, say we're at the beach or in some snow, the camera will go, "Oh, this is too bright," and make it a little bit darker. So we can say, actually, we're in a bright scene, and we can dial in, say, a stop of overexposure. Or if in a very dark scene, say, for example, a sunset or a nightscape, something like that, the camera will go, "Ooh, this is too dark," and it will lighten it up. So we can say, actually, we want to underexpose this picture to make it dark by half a stop, a stop, or whatever we want to do. And a similar thing happens with white balance as well. So when your camera's in auto white balance, the camera looks at the scene, looks at the colours and goes, I reckon the colours should look like this. Because we all know, you've all seen bad colour balance in photographs. Normally when we shot film, or you look at a film photograph which was taken inside, or maybe with your digital cameras, you take a picture inside under fluorescent lights, you know, tube lights, and everybody comes out a little bit blue, and that's an incorrect white balance because the camera couldn't figure it out. So what normally happens under auto white balance, if the camera looks at the light in front of it that's coming in and goes, right, okay, I think we need to shift the colour balance of the picture. So we need it's easy to think about it in terms of oranges and blues. So it either needs to be warmer, so more orange, or colder, or more blue, to get a nice picture. What happens with auto white balance? Normally, with most cameras, if you're outside on a normal day, the camera will pretty much get it right. They're very, very good. But if you're inside under all sorts of different lights, so it might be some strip lights that are fluorescent, you might have some bulbs that are tungsten, you might have some other bulbs that are fluorescent, the camera can get it wrong. And it really matters when you've got things like people's skin in the picture, because you don't want funny colour casts coming in. And so one of the things you can do is, apart from using auto white balance, you can also use the presets on your camera. And these will be things like daylight, cloudy, flash, tungsten light, or fluorescent light. And so you tell the camera, actually, I'm outside on a cloudy day. And the camera will just set the white balance and you can take a picture. And then the final one is custom white balance. And what you can do with the custom white balance is you actually take a picture of something like a colour checker, or a white piece of paper, or a grey card. And that is your reference. And you tell the camera, right, this is a white piece of paper, and take a picture of it. And then the camera will then look at that and go, well, that looks a bit blue to me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to warm everything up so it's proper white. And then it will adjust all the photographs you take with the white balance that way. Now, the thing that I was kind of getting at in a roundabout way was something that Martin said that sort of resonated with me, probably for the first time, was when he said, never ever use auto white balance. Whatever you do, don't use auto white balance. And I thought, well, why not? Because, you know, in auto exposure normally does a fairly good job. And he said, no. What you need to realise is that the problem with auto white balance is that it's constantly changing the colour slightly of your photographs. And it makes it very, very difficult on a series of photographs, when you post-process them, to get them all looking the same, because they've all got slight colour shifts in them. Imagine, I think he uses the example of, imagine you're taking a picture of a field of red poppies. The camera will look at that scene and go, this looks a bit red to me, and it will cool them down, so it will make the poppies less red. You move the camera a little bit, and there's less red poppies in the frame because of your composition, and the camera goes, it's still red, but not quite as red, and it will change it a little bit. So when you look at the photographs afterwards, in your post-processing, they'll all be slightly different shades of red, these flowers, and then you'll have to carefully adjust the white balance. So what he says was, just pick one and stick with it. So if you're outside, for example, and it's a normal day, stick it on sunny, or stick it on cloudy if you're in the UK, and just stick with that all the way through your shoot. So all your photographs will come out with the same white balance applied. So if you want to do a batch change on them, to shift the colour balance, the white balance, you can do that easily. You haven't got to do it on every single photograph. You can do them as a batch. And I thought, what a clever idea. And so that's what I'm going to be doing from now on. I'm going to be sticking to one and choosing it. Now also remember this. If, like me, you're a JPEG shooter, because I can't be bothered with the file sizes of RAW at the moment and my computer's too slow and I can't stand waiting around for it to adjust them. If you're shooting with JPEGs, it's more important to get your white balance spot on, because if you adjust your white balance in post, you do degrade the image, and it can make further editing tricky. But if you're shooting in RAW, which is recommended if you're going to muck around with your photographs a lot and change them a lot, you've got a lot more leeway to change the white balance afterwards. But there's nothing stopping you shooting in, you know, daylight mode, because forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that most, like Adobe Photoshop and Lightroom, recognize what preset you took the camera with, took the photo with, and will apply something similar when you go to process it. I could be wrong there, because I'm no expert in RAW processing. So the thing I'd like everybody to come away with is the idea of shooting with the preset white balances, you know, because you're taking control of the white balance, so you're not letting your camera muck around with the colours in your photographs, and to make them shift in ways that you don't want it to. And then if you want to get really serious, then you can start doing either manual white balances, or sticking with your preset but then taking one picture under the same lighting conditions of a grey card or a piece of white paper, so you can shift all the colours in sequence in a batch. And just remember this as well, is that sometimes the more interesting colours that we see are because of natural shifts in colour balance. So if you're taking a picture of a sunset, you know, and then you take a picture of a white piece of paper or a grey card, and that white piece of paper should look orange, shouldn't it? It should look red. And if you shift the colour so it looks white, the colours and the vibrance of your sunset are going to disappear. So sometimes it's best not to play around with the white balance, because you'll lose the heart and the soul of the photograph. But for lots of cases, especially when you're out in the, during the day shooting, or you're inside under strange lighting conditions, getting the white balance correct and shooting with the prefix and then sorting out in post and making it pop that way, you can really make your colours look very, very good. And it's one of the easiest things in the world in post-processing. Almost every program has it. They'll have a neutral colour picker tool or a white balance tool where you just take an eyedropper and just tap on something that should be like a neutral colour, like all black or all white or grey, and all of a sudden the colours in your photograph will just go really, really good. A good example I did that recently was I took some photos of Oliver in his new school uniform underneath bulbs, incandescent bulbs, tungsten bulbs, incandescent ones in our dining room, and so the pictures were very orange. But by clicking that tool on his white shirt, boom, the colours in the photos suddenly became all natural, and the colours, the photographs just popped off the screen, and as soon as I printed them out, they looked great, really, really good, and I was very, very pleased with them. So there we go, some food for thought about white balance and your photographs. And if in doubt, convert to black and white anyway. There we go, that's all from me this week. My name's Rob from robnumphoto.com. You can contact me, just email me with any questions or comments, suggestions for the podcast or the website. You can email me on scalespeeder@gmail.com, scalespeeder@gmail.com. You can find us on Flickr, just search for the robnumphoto.com website, Flickr group. You can write a comment on robnumphoto.com. You can find me on Twitter, all that stuff. If you just search the web for Rob space Nunn, N-U-N-N, you'll find me. They're all there. That's it from me this week. Thanks everybody for taking part in the Flickr group, putting the photos in there, some brilliant work going in. Thanks everybody for commenting on robnumphoto.com, the blog, but most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.